everybody, and welcome to September's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And joining me here at a virtual Heat and Hops on a Wednesday evening, we're joined by the welcome return of social media officer from the league. It's Mr. James Hayes in his Radcliffe top.
Evening, how are you doing?
Wearing his Destroy Rock and Roll jumper. Andrew Simpson is here, everyone.
Yep. Hello, how are you doing? Bringing controversy from the dance floor.
And joining us from a match up in the Northern League tonight, West Allotment Celtic against Durham City, it's Mark Carruthers, everyone. Hello, Mark.
Hi there. Half an hour to go, we'll kick off here, but always got time for you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. do I do that joke I made off air? No, I'm not going to do this joke. I'll save it.
Swampy's right off every week, everyway, so it's all different.
Yeah, so no Swampy this week, no Berkey. Neither of them have seen many matches, so I've benched the pair of them until they improve their performance. But we are also going to be hearing from Toby McCormack as well, chairman at Warrington. We're going to be joined by our friend from Scarborough Athletic, Ant Taylor, to talk about the top two up at the top of the table. And that's where we should start. And I'll come to you first, Simo, because Warrington Town, straight out the blocks, aren't they? Played 4, won 4, scored 8, conceded 0.
Yes, Warrington are back. Clean sheets are back. It's 2018 all over again, and and yellow's the top of the league. No, well, that'd be absolutely made up, won't we? Perfect start. The only tiny blemish so far is that penalty shootout defeat in the FA Cup against South Shields. But even in that game, they kept a clean sheet as well, didn't they? So. A dream start for Town. We did say in the preview show that Paul Card had made a lot of very shrewd signings, even if they weren't necessarily high-profile ones. And those new guys seem to have slotted in beautifully. And it all started, didn't it, with that really impressive win on the opening day at Basford. Kind of builders, oh, let's see how two of the contenders shape up. And Town were convincing winners, to be fair. And so, what a brilliant first fortnight for them.
Well, let's welcome our first guest to the show. As I said in the introduction, we'll be joined by Ant Taylor shortly from Coasting County Radio to talk about Scarborough's great start to the season. And later, we'll be staying on the North Yorkshire coast, as we'll be joined by Paul Connolly to talk about the week that's been up at Whitby Town. But before that, let's talk about the league leaders then, and Warrington Town. And joining me now down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by the welcome return of chairman at Warrington Town. It's Toby McCormack. Well, Toby, a big thank you for joining us. And what a cracky start to the season. Clean sheets galore and plenty of wins in the league. I mean, how's it going?
Really well. And a bit of a welcome relief, really, considering what's going on around us. And, you know, with all the restrictions and regulations that we've got to follow to keep playing, it's something that's come at a great time and give everyone a lift, really, in bit of a, obviously, a bit of sad time.
Yes, I was going to say, I mean, it's something that I keep saying to football people doing this show, because it seems surreal with what's going on in the outside world that we're managing to get games played and we're plodding through the fixtures and that kind of thing. I mean, all credit must go to all the clubs and all the volunteers and that kind of thing for keeping the show on the road the way they're doing at the moment.
Yeah, clubs and you know, supporters as well. You know, home fans and away, everyone's sort of really bought into all the different things that are in place, you know, from QR codes to sanitising stations to, of course, you know, what people will call the dreaded table service on match day. Everyone's bought into it, and like you say, staff, volunteers and fans, because I think they know that, you know, it's the only way we're going to keep going.
And when it comes to the challenges, as a chairman, you've got your local authority, but there's so many local authorities across the board, isn't there? I mean, how challenging is it at the moment as a chairman to meet these regulations and run a football club as well at the same time?
It's a case of just really keeping on top of it. You know, we've got a good relationship with our licensing authority, which is the key thing, really. You know, it's a lot of the other stuff is, you know, it's guidelines and recommendations, but licensing authority is law. You know, the 10 o'clock closing, the 6 to a table, them kind of rules. So whilst they're tough to follow, and it does have a big impact on, you know, on clubs, like I said, we've got a good relationship with them, so as soon as something comes out, we're quite on top of it, and we get the line from them of exactly what they need, and we just put it in place and wait for the next fixture.
When it comes to fixtures themselves, we had Paul Carden on the show a couple of weeks ago, and you know, you've got your challenges as a chairman. He's got his challenges trying to build a squad with the backdrop that we're talking about here. But it looks like you've hit the ground running, and that must be pleasing to see.
Yeah, most definitely. Paul's made some great summer signings there that fitted straight into the team. You know, where you get somewhere, you make some signings, and sort of players sort of need to settle. But the ones that signed have played with some players in the squad previously, and you know, that's really helped to fit them in. And like you say, sort of hit the ground running, really.
It's a remarkable record, really. I mean, we're going to be talking about Scarborough in a second, but you know, to keep that many clean sheets, even with the FA Cup encounter with South Shields. That was a clean sheet as well. I mean, that's what do you think it's all down to, other than organisation and good defending?
I think it's that, man, and you know, a bit of old fashioned belief. You know, there's been some really last ditch defending, headers off lines, and great saves from the keeper and blocks, and you know, everything that you'd need to see sort of kitchen sink defending, really, where you know, we've been under pressure at times and we've soaked it up and dealt with it the best way we can.
And when it comes to your targets for the season, obviously, I think Warrington, was it third again last year? Is that 3 years on the trot now you finished third? I think it was, or something like that. I mean, with COVID, it looks like, you know, some clubs have gone, right, we're going to tighten the old purse strings and that kind of thing. But some clubs have gone, right, we're going to go for it this year and take advantage of it. I mean, what's your targets at Warrington, given the fact everyone's going for it, it looks like?
and that, well, that's, you know, I made no secret of, you know, what our financial losses and the impact it had on us. I came out quite early in the pandemic, I think around maybe even April, May time, and you know, I was quite open with what it would cost us and what our targets would be, which, you know, we should be there or thereabouts, you know, trying to get into the playoffs. We've been successful in it, and you know, previous seasons we've said playoffs without a doubt, you know, that's where we need to be, whereas this season's target was, you know, let's get there or thereabouts and trying to sneak in the playoffs. And that's still the case. You know, we have started well, but I think where we've started well with the signings that's fitted in, I think maybe other teams' signings and maybe they've just not quite gelled yet. And, you know, I think you will see other teams in the division putting winning runs together and making the table really tight and competitive like we know it will be.
And Mickleover away tomorrow, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, always a tough place to go, Mickleover. John's always got, you know, he always sets up well, and you know, they're quite well disciplined. So, you know, never an easy place to go at any time. But you know, we're preparing like we have done for all the previous games, and you know, hopefully we can get anything or 1-0 off someone's shoulder or anything. But we'll take anything to get the 3 points.
Well, it's like I've said to most managers, it's just great to be talking about football again. And Toby McCormack, chairman at Warrington Town, big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. Safe journey down to Derbyshire tomorrow, and we'll catch up soon.
Great stuff. Thanks, Ben.
Let's talk now a bit about Scarborough and the great start to the season that they've had. Second in the league table at the moment. And for more on this from Coast and County Radio, we should be joined down the other end of the phone by the welcome return of commentator. It's Mr. Ant Taylor. Well, Ant, a big thank you for joining us. And with regards to the league campaign, it's not been a bad start, has it? What's your take on how things have started at the club this year?
Yeah, I've been to I think I've been to all of the games so far. We look solid in defence. I know when you look at the team sheets, like we've got 7 defenders so on the pitch in different positions and that, and you're thinking, oh, we might scrape through this. But the Stalybridge game, we were on fire in the first 45 minutes. We're 3-0 up in there, and I think we just managed the game out in the second half. FC United, I think it was even all the way. FC United, you know, your lot, they did really well in trying to get a goal, and you know, and I think we just managed it well, and I think Darren Kelly organised the formation to suit the opposition instead of suiting the team. So he's done that in prepare for FC United, and obviously Atherton, the first game of the season, we come out of the traps really quick that game. I think 48 seconds Nathan Cartman scored a goal, and then in second half, with the on-loan signing of Ryan Whiteley from York, with the long ball for the second goal as well to get the assist on that. I think it was just tremendous bit of football, and it's still really attractive football as well that we're playing. Playing out from the backs a bit, putting a lot of press on the opposition. I've got to be honest, watching pre-season, I thought well, I'm a bit wary about this one. We were coming away from defeats with Farsley and stuff like that, and obviously the mass game in the semi-finals just after the lockdown bit. But yeah, I've got all confidence, and you know, me tail feathers are up and all that, and I'm really confident, you know, going into the Witten game on Saturday. Obviously, it was a game last season. I think it was John Deasy's last match in charge as well at Witten. So, you know, a bit wary because I know what they can be. I think they're doing all right as well. And I've had a look at some of their players for Saturday for the commentary. And I think, you know, there's some good players in there as well. And it should be another good, entertaining match. And hopefully, you know, we'll probably take another 3 points. And if we get another clean sheet, that's great.
Remember, Simo's on the show this week as well, Ant. So you got to be nice about Witten. But
very nice about Witten. I like the guys at Witten.
Just to say, I mean, later in the show, we're going to be talking about Whitby Town, and we've got Paul Connolly coming on. Scarborough and Whitby have had similar stats of the season. The fact that you've not been home, and that's equally been challenging, hasn't it? I mean, given the fact you've not played that many home games this season, how impressive has the start been?
We've had one home game, and that was the one behind doors in the FA Cup, Aston United, which, you know, when you see that game, and we just weren't on it on that day. I think that's the only blip so far in the season, but it was really weird because I was there doing the commentary with, like, hardly anybody there apart from the Aston entourage that come down. But I, you know, it was really weird just not having any people there, and I've been to see games where there's been hardly anybody there, you know, like local level and stuff like that. But it just didn't feel right. And I think, you know, the players might have picked up on that when playing, because normally it's right, you know, it could be anything up to about 1,000 people at the Flamingoland Stadium. And, you know, and you can feel the electricity, especially on the Tuesday night with the fans. And it really puts, you know, they all talk about the 12th man and that. In regards to it, and I think that it does really help, and I think that's probably, you know, been playing away, it's been hard doing it, but as long as we can transfer that away form now into our home form, it'd be great. Because I know last season when Darren Kelly took over, we did struggle a bit away, but we was really good at home. I don't think we I think it was a Nantwich game that Dave Mez was in charge at the time. We drew 1-1 at home. And then I think we had a couple of defeats, and I think there's only a couple of away wins that we got last season. So hopefully it doesn't do the flip now that we're coming back home and we're playing Nantwich. You know, we'll transfer that what we've been having the away game into the home side. And I think, you know, we'll really we'll push on that, and we should have a really good season.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the other thing we have to say is as well, I mean, we spoke a few times on the show, and that Darren Kelly effect. Now he's had a pre-season under his belt at the club as well. I mean, have you noticed, even when you're out on the road all the time, and even when you have to play back at the Flamingoland Stadium behind closed doors, there is a sense that the club's going in the right direction?
Yeah, well, Daz Kelly, you've seen what he's done at Hyde and what he's done there, getting him into the FA Cup, and you think that he brings that positive energy. Daz Kelly, I can't say anything bad about Daz. I've known him for a few years, and obviously when he was at Scarborough for when Rudy Funk was in charge and stuff like that, and you know, even when he was a Hyde manager and that, and he's someone I've always loved to have seen as a Scarborough manager, as well as having Nathan Cartman up front. So it's like, you know, that ticks all my boxes in regards to this season. I think I've been hassling Nathan Cartman at every end of every season when you come into Scarborough, so I'm glad it's finally happened. And it has an effect, and you could probably tell last season when he took over at the Whitby game. Straight away, I went into a win, and then, you know, we did really well at home. It was just the away form last season that, you know, really killed it for us in regards to any push into the playoffs. But, you know, I think he does have a big effect, and it is a lot of positive things going in the club. You can see, you know, the way people talk about him, especially, and it's great seeing other fans, like at Stalybridge. I was doing a commentary, but I was hearing complimentary things in regards to the players and the way they play. And it was, like I said, the first 45 minutes, it's probably some of the best football I've ever seen Scarborough playing at the moment. Obviously, Josh Barrett getting two goals, you know, a defender who's really doing well to play football in any position, that lad. And he's come out with two fantastic goals. One of them was similar to Patrick Bamford's against Sheffield United, the way he scored that goal. So, you know, credit to Josh moving up in the position that he did that night to get the two goals. And obviously with Daz Kelly as manager. You know, we can go anywhere really at the moment.
Well, one place you're going to this weekend is Witton Albion, and that takes us to the coverage for this game as well. Obviously, because of behind closed doors matches and obviously because of crowd restrictions for away games, I'm imagining Coaston County and your commentary has been a godsend for a lot of listeners. So how could people tune in this weekend?
Yeah, to tune in, it's all online like it was last year, but obviously it's Coaston County, so it's... www.coastingcounty.co.uk. There's a you scroll on the web page. There's two boxes. Forget the second one. Just go straight for the top one and listen to the Scarborough game. And you know, I'm sure the Whitby lads will thank me for that.
And I've told you, Paul Connolly's coming on the show today. Come on,
he won't know it. He won't know what I've just said until he's listened to it. But no, he's a nice lad.
There we go. Those are the views of Ant Taylor. But Ant, a big thank you for joining us on the show. A big good luck this weekend with the coverage, and we'll catch up very soon. Let's talk about Nantwich Town. And Nantwich Town, same record as Scarborough Athletic, played three, 1-2, drawn one. They've conceded two goals, but they've scored six. What have you made of Nantwich's start? And we should say as well, we said last month, didn't we, about how tricky it's going to be for organising fixtures and that kind of thing. We've seen it with Bamber Bridge. We're about to see it with Nantwich, aren't we, I believe?
Yeah, so obviously Nantwich, after their game against Barwell, had a player tested positive for COVID. So unfortunately, that's now 14 days. They're not allowed to play, potentially, unless they can raise a team in time for the FA Cup, which is not completely out of the question. Match-wise, at the moment, they've started well. Good, solid team. Joe Stairs starting to get into a good bit of form and starting to score goals, some important goals for him as well recently. It's just how quick they can recover when they get back into football. 14 days is a lot of time where you can't meet with a team, you can't train. It's how quick can they get back into action and continue pushing for the top spots.
We wish everyone well at Nantwich, Simo, obviously, but you know, this is what we were talking about last month. It's, you know, it just takes one player and that's a show off the road for a bit.
Well, and the disruption is, you know, is very much started in earnest, hasn't it? Because obviously Morpeth Town and Mark will speak a little bit more about them shortly, are subject to the same situation at the moment. They're having to shut down. We've seen multiple clubs in the North West Counties League having to do the same. And I was talking to Mark Harris, chairman of the league, at Wincham Park on Saturday before Witton Albion's game. And he was making the point that I think it's something north of 40 different local authorities come under the umbrella of the Northern Premier League. And each one of them can interpret the national regulations slightly differently. They've got powers now to kind of tighten the restrictions here and there. And we're kind of seeing this kind of patchwork of responses, which is also, and I'm sure James will kind of agree, kind of presenting an extra layer of challenge for the league to try and negotiate this. Because and we've seen, haven't we, up in North Yorkshire, Scarborough and Whitby weren't able to play home games initially, although they've now managed to get that overturned and are now looking forward to hosting their first home games of the season. And you're going to see this week after week after week. I wasn't sure how quickly we were going to see this, but this seems to be kind of the way of the world now. And I think I made the point last time that I was on that we may well see a season here where it isn't necessarily the best team that wins the league this season. It's going to be the team that responds better to these constant changes, the team that is good on its feet, can turn around different preparation at short notice, the team that gets a little bit of luck with how fixtures may be rearranged or when the gaps fall. And I think that's going to be the key to who occupies these top spaces later on in the season.
I mean, Mark, Simo mentioned Morpeth Town, and obviously this weekend's match against FC United is now off. It's been a decent start for Morpeth, but I mean, what's your understanding about the situation up there at the moment?
Yeah, so obviously there's a player who has tested positive for COVID, and you know, they've shut down all operations for 2 weeks. It's a shame because when you look at, obviously they went through a massive change in the summer with Nicky Gray moving out and Stephen Turnbull coming in as new manager. They had a really good summer in the transfer market, made some great signings that I don't think some people would have seen happening there. The likes of, you know, Andrew Johnson's gone in from Spennymoor, who did very well in the National League North with them. And they started the season fairly well. I was there first day of the season when they drew with Grantham, and I mean, it was a bit underwhelming. But since then, they've picked up. They've, you know, had a win in the FA Cup. They, have obviously gone out of that now after a good performance at Southport. But they've got the makings of a very good season, but this just isn't going to help. And I think Simo's right. It's going to be about how people react to this sort of stop-start nature that we're going to have throughout the season and how they react to situations in their own club.
And Simo, it's important to say that, you know, we're hopeful it's going to be stop-start because that implies there's a restart again as well. I mean, I'm quite infused by the start we've had. You know, we seem to be racing through the FA Cup rounds. The FA Trophy qualifying rounds have already started as well. We've got to four league games for a few sides now in the Premier Division. So we are navigating this, let's say.
Yeah, and also from the grounds that I've visited so far, and I don't know about you guys, maybe you can share your experience as well, is that the clubs are taking their responsibility very, very seriously, putting in place the measures that they've been asked to, and then often going beyond the call of duty just to make sure that everything is as safe as it can be. There's obviously no such thing as zero risk, as we've touched on already tonight. But certainly from the games that I've been to so far, there is that conscientious effort to get the games on. We are in a privileged position in that we're supporters are able to watch Northern Premier League games at the moment. Not the case still in the tiers above us, even though they finally got their season underway last night and at the weekend in the National Division. So that is a privilege. We need to kind of cherish that. We need to take care of that. And we all do need to take our own little bit of individual responsibility, almost as a mark of respect for kind of what volunteers have done at clubs just to get these matches on.
Again, this is how the clubs are adapting at this moment in time too. So obviously, we've gone from being teams playing pre-seasons in front of fans to literally clubs having to become TV stations pretty much.
Yes.
Let's be realistic. That's why it's been the last couple of weeks. But to do that in the space of 2 weeks, and I'm currently helping another two clubs try and get involved with it at the moment. I know Swanby's got his thoughts at the moment about having to share the stream funds from the FA Cup and everything, but that's FA rules. You have gate money has to be split, and the TV stream is a gate money.
I was going to say, though, I've enjoyed turning into Elton Wellesby. I've enjoyed it. I don't know who Elton Wellesby is. That's your dad. Right, let's just go back to the league and talk about the remaining spots of the playoffs at the moment, at time of recording. Mark, I'll come to you for Gainsborough Trinity. I get the impression Curtis Woodhouse is having a really good time this season. He basically picked a squad that he freely admitted on this show that not many people will have heard of the players, but I'm confident by Christmas they will have. We jokingly said last week, James, didn't we? By November, I think people are going to know who these players are. It's been a good start for Gainsborough, Mark.
It is, you know, when you think of how much work's been done in that squad. And I think with Curtis, when you look at the previous jobs he's had, he's kind of relished that, picking players that people won't know and bringing them in. And making the most of them and making them well-known players. And I think that's, as you say, that's what you're seeing with this Gainsborough side. They will definitely chance for the playoffs, if not more this year. Again, and I keep saying this, but it's about building on what they've done so far. It's about him trusting and his methods, which, you know, let's be honest, he's not short of confidence. So I'm fairly certain there will be, you know, challenges for a top five place this season.
And challenging for top five place this season, Wayne Albion. Hello? Is this on? Litton Albion, everyone. Fifth.
Well,
and they've scored seven goals. Seven!
Can I quickly get in on this?
Yeah, of course you can.
And I think Simo knows what's coming here. Not based on what I saw at Whitley Bay, there won't be.
Oh.
Nah, do you know what?
That was ages ago.
You know, the manager will have called for a reaction to that because they weren't very good that night. Deservedly beaten by Whitley Bay, but I don't think he can ask any more than what he's had since that night.
Oh, well, what do you think, Simo?
I think, well, Carl himself on Saturday described it to me as a roller coaster so far, and that's pretty accurate. We've had a little bit of everything, and it does need to settle down. I think the world is a much better place after they beat Basford 2-0 on Saturday, not because they beat Basford, obviously that is a feather in the cap, but the manner in which they did it, and you lot were all pulling me leg at the weekend when I told you it was a clean sheet with a one Witten goal, and then the visitors rather charitably chipped in with the other one. But it did feel much more like a recognisable Carl McCauley Witten and a much better performance. Now, the key now is to stop this kind of up and down. And they've got Scarborough Saturday, so that'll be a little test of their early progress. But yeah, before Saturday, though, there was a few furrowed brows and little bit of concern. So Mark's quite right. Going out of the FA Cup in the way that they did was a blow, but they've gone some way to putting that right. But the trick now is, can they become the first team to score against Scarborough, for example, at the weekend? Let's see what happens.
Let's talk about South Shields then. And we're recording this show on Wednesday. And Mark, not the best of results for South Shields last night against Radcliffe.
Last night was obviously a blow. I don't think they saw that coming. They are normally very strong at home. So there'll be natural disappointment there. But, you know, Graham and Lee will analyse that and take what they can out of it. I think you'll see a reaction at the weekend. Probably means I've just absolutely cursed them. But you will see a reaction from that squad because there's a lot of experience in there. They made a few decent additions over the summer that are starting to make an impact. Obviously, Kempster scored last night. I think he was, for me, one of the signs of the summer because I think he could have easily stayed in that York side or stayed in the National League North. But the key thing now, again, it's that reaction. How do they react? How do they react at the weekend? Can they go on a run that, you know, they need to gather momentum? Have they moved on from last year and what happened? Because there is obviously going to be disappointment that they were denied promotion. And you've got all this off-field stuff. Is that impacting on the pitch? I'd imagine not, because I think the players do tend to be fairly protected from stuff like that. But, you know, it's a massive season for the club. There's no denying it. They've been quite forthright in what they want to do. They're very ambitious. Everyone knows that. But I think this year, I'm not going to say they have to get promoted, but I think it'd be interesting to see what happens if they don't. It would be another sort of road bump in the way. But I think, yeah, it's just all about how they react to Tuesday night. And I think the big thing is get a win this weekend, try and go on a run and just... They're one of those clubs, you know, when they do get momentum, when they do get going, it's hard to stop them. So it's all about that now.
James, let's talk about some of these teams in the mid-table pack at the moment. I mean, Matt just mentioned, you know, South Shields they've not hidden their intentions and that kind of thing. I mean, we could talk about the recruitment that Buxton have made. They're there in ninth at the moment. Ashton United have had a good start to the season. They're in eighth position. Matlock Town have had a flyer as well, haven't they? They've been pretty impressive in these opening few games or so.
Yeah, so Matlock, they just seem to be evolving the team left every other week. So at this moment in time, they're still bringing 5-6 players in. I mentioned last week about Danny Greenwood, a great start he's had this year.
Simo, what do you think of Ashton United and Buxton's start?
Yeah, I know Ashton were disappointed not to convert their dominance against Bamber Bridge into 3 points on Tuesday or last night as we record this, because they put in a really good performance, just couldn't find a way through. And they obviously had a couple of ding-dongs with South Shields back-to-back, didn't they? A 3-3 draw in the league, although they'll probably again be a little bit frustrated because they were 2-0 and 3-1 up in that game. And then they did get a little bit of a spanking, didn't they, in the FA Cup when South Shields came back down to this neck of the woods shortly after that. But yeah, they've done fine. They've done okay. Good win on the opening day down at Stafford against former manager Jody Banham. So there's things to be heartened by. Buxton, well, that's a real head scratcher, isn't it? I mean, when you bring in as many players as they've brought in, I think you're always going to have a slightly inconsistent start while Gary Haywood figures out which combinations, who's going to start where, who's going to play alongside who. So in some respects, that shouldn't be a surprise, but the manner of some of their way in which points have slipped away from them. Don't forget they were 1-0 up with 5 minutes left at Nantwich and lost the game. They were 2-0 up against Whitby, and Whitby fought back to get a point. They couldn't find a way through against Stafford in the FA Cup at the weekend and ended up getting knocked out on penalties. And then so it's not settled at all yet. No reason at all to be necessarily concerned, but they'll probably be a little bit disappointed that they've not started better. And like saying, the manner in which they've dropped points is a little bit worrying as well.
Let's move on now to Whitby Town. And obviously it's been a pretty eventful week for the North Yorkshire club, with Chris Hardy departing last week after being at the club for 6 years in charge at the Turnbull Ground. And for more on this, let's hear now from Paul Connolly. Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us, and quite an eventful week at the Turnbull Ground. I mean, what's your reaction to what's gone on this past week or so?
You summed up pretty well there, just using the word eventful, Ben. Last Thursday night, Chris Hardy's resignation went in. Then on Friday, it was announced Nathan Haslam and Lee Bullock appointed on the back of that as joint managers. And then Saturday, going to Warrington Town and losing 1-0. But a decent performance in a new system. It's certainly been a week where nothing's really stood still at Whitby.
No, that's true. I was going to say, obviously, we've had Chris on the show numerous times, and you know this as well as anyone. I mean, he's such a great guy to talk to, very knowledgeable about the game. Was this a surprise for you? Because it seemed like a great season last year, and, you know, the building blocks have been put in place for an equally good season this year, really, I thought.
It wasn't a surprise, to be honest with you, Ben. I think people a bit close to Chris Hardy maybe did see it coming over, well, a sustained spell. But, yeah, for supporters, definitely it was a surprise because, like you say, you know, last season it was a really good year, pushing towards the playoffs before the season ended. It was all looking very positive, and Chris himself was very positive about this season itself. But, I think there's been a few factors in Chris's, you know, departure from the football club. You know, a lot of travelling. He's got a business that is expanding in a big way, and he's obviously got family commitments as well. So, I mean, it was one of those. It wasn't a surprise, but it's certainly a disappointment more than anything.
Let's talk about the here and now then, and obviously Grantham coming this weekend on the back of solid performance against Warrington. I mean, what's your expectations for this game?
I think it's just got to be first and foremost good to get back in front of the home crowd.
Yes.
We've played all of our games in the league so far away from home. And the only game that we had at home in the FA Cup against Rylands was obviously behind closed doors. So it'd be nice to see. Nice to see the lads back in front of the crowd at the Turnbull for a start-off. But, I mean, for this one, it's going to be one that I know Lee Bullock and Nathan Haslam are eyeing up as a winnable game. Grantham coming to Whitby. I mean, no team really wants to travel into Whitby at any point. They'll be looking at this as a winnable game. It'll be a 4-4-2 system again, I would probably assume, from Whitby. And, yeah, they'll be looking to build on what was a good performance at Warrington because, you know, they created chances. They looked a lot more solid at the back than they did against Gainsborough. And to be honest with you, Ben, I think it's a game where if they take the chances with me, then they'll certainly be on the right end of the result on the afternoon.
And given, you know, the change in management and that kind of thing, are you expecting some new players to come in and that kind of thing in the coming weeks as well?
I don't think there will be any great changes. Maybe one or two players come in. But, I don't anticipate many great changes. It was, the thinking behind Nathan Haslam coming to the club in the summer was outlined in Chris Hardy's resignation letter as him and Bullock being sort of the next step for Whitby and the people to take it on. So Haslam had a very big say in recruitment over the summer, as did Lee Bullock. So I think it'll be very much the same in terms of the playing personnel at Whitby. And, you know, there's a very good, talented squad there. So I don't see any reason or any great reason, shall we say, to upset the apple cart.
And finally, Paul, as well, we need to mention the magazine and the podcast and Coast and County, as well as Whitby Gazette and that kind of thing. Loads of coverage this past week. I mean, tell us a bit about the magazine that you're the editor for as well.
So the magazine sort of cured a bit of boredom in lockdown, to be honest with you, while I was working from home. So it was just a case of. Obviously, in the past, I've done Blue Army fanzine and Royal Whitby, aren't we? So I thought, well, why not get InDesign fired up again? It's been sitting doing nothing for a year or two and get something out there. And I was really glad with the end product of issue one. We've got issue two on sale now as well, where, we're looking probably more toward the history of the football club in that respect with the magazine. But the podcast as well, alongside it, we're just sort of varying that up week by week when we can get stuff recorded. We had Neil Bishop on recently, former Whitby and Scarborough midfielder, of course, at Scarborough again now, Neil, which he sort of stitched me up with a little bit because I recorded the interview and released the podcast the day after he signed for Scarborough. So
nice. We've all been there.
it is what it is. But we've got an interview with Neil Bishop on there. I've got former Middlesbrough and Whitby striker Andy Campbell lined up, and hopefully, fingers crossed and touch wood, etc., some really big names coming on in the near future to talk about the career. But there'll be more on that on the Blue Cerciati Twitter and Facebook accounts when we've got those over the line and confirmed.
Great stuff. And we should say you can follow Paul Connolly on Twitter at PaulCon1996. And Paul, big thank you for taking the time to come on the show and mention the lie of the land and that kind of thing, and walk us through what's been a pretty eventful week at the Turnbull. But like you say, the most important thing is you're back at the Turnbull, you're playing football. How much are you looking forward to this weekend?
Absolutely can't wait, Ben. It's going to be great to see all the faces in the crowd, and it'd be great to see the players as well, because I've only managed to get to Gainsborough so far this season and watch them, and that wasn't the best result. So it'll be nice to see everyone, and yeah, like we said, nice to see football back on the pitch at the Turnbull as well, which is looking in great shape, I might add.
We obviously send our best wishes to Chris, but he's been doing such great work up there.
Yeah, obviously he's moved up from the Northern League to go to Whitby from Gisborough Town after doing a fantastic job there, and I think he's done a very good job at Whitby as well, overseeing quite the turnover of players over his time at the club. But he's made them into a solid sort of mid-table, the playoff challenging side. But you know, it's all about the future now, and you look at. Obviously, the two men in charge now are two people who know the club well. The two men who have been in and around the club, and two men who've got good connections in this league and above. So, you know, it's an appointment that I think will help the club bring in players possibly from above and try and improve and really try and solidify themselves as playoff contenders rather than just mid-table, because there's enough talent in that squad. You know, there's a lot of very good players in that squad, and hopefully, you know, the new management team can help them sort of realise that potential during their time there.
Well, Mark, I heard the referee's whistle, so you've got to go now, haven't you? So all the best we're covering tonight's game up there in the North East, and we'll speak to you very soon, my friend.
Thanks very much.
Nice one. Matt Carruthers there joining us from the North East, West Allotment Celtic against Durham City. Our old friends, Durham City, of course. We're going to be doing a fixture preview shortly for this weekend's matches, for those matches that are actually on this weekend. But I'm just going to start the next bit of the show talking about the bottom end of the table and some of the teams down the bottom end. Stafford Rangers and Stalybridge Celtic. Simo only got a point at the minute on the board after their first three games. Hyde United are a bit unlucky because they're two draws, South Shields and FC United. So early days for them, I'm imagining. I mean, what do you make of the bottom end of the table at the moment?
I'm not going to do a Berkey impression, don't worry. But I think Hyde will feel fine. I mean, I know they got beat in the FA Cup against Fylde at the weekend, but no shame in that whatsoever. But two very creditable draws against FC United and South Shields, and that came on the back of they lost their first game away at Gainsborough, and they won't be the only team that's going to get turned over at the North Home this season either. So no reason whatsoever to be concerned about them. Stafford, well, they've picked up where they left off. Probably not got a big enough sample size yet. They've progressed in the FA Cup, got a nice draw against Hereford, haven't they? So that'll be interesting to see how they get on next week. Stalybridge, I would be slightly concerned about. They've took a couple of heavy defeats, haven't they? A couple of 3-0 defeats in the league, which leaves them at the bottom of the table. They did have a decent draw against Lancaster, which they would have been pretty pleased about. But there's been a bit of movement out of there this week, haven't there? Chris Holroyd has joined Warrington. So kind of a goal threat has left. And then more than that, it's kind of what damage losing in the FA Cup to lower-ranked Longridge might have done to them. And we'll have to wait and see what damage is done when they play in the next couple of weeks. But they kind of dragged themselves back into that game from 2-0 down and then conceded a late goal. Now, I've seen Longridge a couple of times last season. They're a very handy side and were in contention to be promoted from the North West Counties League Premier Division before the season was curtailed. So it's not that they're a poor side at all, but you know, if you're ranked two leagues higher and you've got a home draw, you'd expect to progress. And they'd had a couple of good wins in the FA Cup to reach that stage, haven't they? So probably reason a little bit for concern at Stalybridge. It'll be interesting to see how they react, like I say, to those back-to-back league defeats and an FA Cup exit. It's not been a good 7 to 10 days for them at all.
James should mention as well, Grantham and Lancaster, they've got 2 points from their first three games. There's been wins as well for Micklover and Atherton. So at the moment, there's no one who's been cut adrift. It's all very close after the first three or four games or so. But I'd just like to talk about Radcliffe, if I may, James. You picked up your first win of the season on Tuesday night, and a very impressive one at that as well. I mean, what have you made of Radcliffe's start?
Radcliffe have been very hot and cold at times so far. So the big problem has been defence in the first two games. So there's no problem with moving forward, as I said last week. It's just literally every time going back, they're getting caught off guard, and that's been the big problem. For the first half in the Farsley game in the FA Cup, looked like we were going to get walked over. Second half, completely different side come out. So McAllister's starting to make the moves there, and he's starting to make his team his own a little bit, and it looks like they're moving in the right direction now.
Bakersfield are mid-table, FC United are mid-table. It's early days, isn't it? I mean, waiting a fifth.
Hey.
I'm just filling the void of Burke. Just filling the void of Burke. That's all I'm doing.
FC United are winless.
They are, but we're having a good time.
Especially
that 0-0
draw. Just quickly said off air about Bakersfield, saw them at weekend. Been a lot of changes there. There's a lot of new young faces in Steve Shettle's team. It's also a very experienced spine, by the way. There's a lot of know-how there, but they very much gave the impression of a team that's still kind of figuring things out. Marcus Marshall wasn't playing either, and they're hoping to get him back in the lineup this weekend after an injury. He'll make a big difference because they were a little bit anemic up top. But again, they're one of these teams. We talked a number of times tonight about teams that have made lots of signings, and it's just kind of the manager figuring out what's his best 11 at the moment. And I think that was why Whitton were able to do the business on the weekend. But certainly, no reason for concern for either of those two teams. I expect them to climb the table.
Now, let's quickly run through the fixtures for this weekend. At time of recording, that is, the Morpeth Town against FC United is off due to the brand new postponement reason, COVID-related. And Nantwich Town against Atherton Colls, that's also postponed due to COVID-related. So these matches at the moment are on, but do check the npl.co.uk. And we should say, James, as well, social media purposes, like you touched upon before, these clubs have now turned into TV stations, which is something I wasn't expecting from 2020, I'll be honest. Check the social media platforms for the Northern Premier League on Saturday morning for all the various links and that kind of thing. But I'm having a day off. Just quickly, you two, see what we can get from this. Bamber Bridge against South Shields.
If you're saying Bamber Bridge turn up is against Ashton, I reckon Bamber Bridge could get a result here.
It means that Jamie Milligan would be absolutely made up. I read an interview with him this afternoon, and he was saying how it's amazing how the 14 days off can impact on the player's sharpness and on the fitness. And he felt that certainly was an evidence against Ashton United last night when they were heavily fatigued in the second half and just about managed to find a way to hang on. So that's a factor in the mix here, because it's still only going to be their second game back. And of course, as Mark said earlier, they're facing the wounded tiger. So that'd be quite interesting to see what happens.
Interesting game as well, the Giant Axe, Lancaster City against Gainsborough Trinity. Lancaster have not really, they've not flown out the blocks, have they? Unlike Gainsborough.
Not really, no. But they're still, I think, still early days in the season. Again, the FA Cup against Skelmersdale, I think it was a bit surprising to go out in that one. Mm. But under the circumstances where they played, having to change outside as well because of local situations, that wasn't there to like him.
Is that what COVID has done, by the way? It's made us all go back to, I don't know, playing Sunday League football. Everyone used to get changed outside, didn't they? There was no. Yeah, it's just the way it was. Get changed.
I've been watching the English game recently, so who knows?
Open the car door. Give yourself a bit of shielding. There you go. Sorted. No worries. Lancaster City against Gainsborough Trinity. The next game's an intriguing one, Simo. Matlock against Ashton United. Both have had relatively good starts to the season. So what do you think of this one?
And both of you just be looking to build on that, won't they? Like I touched on earlier, Ashton a bit smart in a little bit from not getting 3 points last night, but generally have done all right so far. Matlock as well have done all right, doing well in the FA Cup as well. So the two teams feeling pretty good about the world. Matlock may be slight favourites with home advantage, but I do think it'll be close.
And how close will it be this weekend? Because you've seen this team, Simo. Mickleover against Warrington.
I feel a bit gutted for Mickleover. Their fixture list has been absolutely horrendous. They played Morpeth at home, they've played South Shields away, and now they're playing top of the league, Warrington. And they did pick up a win against Whitton, which is their 3 points on the board. So at least they've got something on the board, because I reckon Warrington are going to carry on their winning start to the season on Saturday.
Radcliffe, James, taking on Bakersfield this weekend. Another opportunity here for Lee Fowler's side. What are you hoping for?
I mean, that's a great opportunity for Rackham to pick some up, but it all depends on which of both sides show up. This one's really hard to predict because both teams have been really mixed responses to the start of the season.
What about this game here, Simo? Stafford Rangers against Hyde United. Will it be another draw for these two, or will...
This is your nil-nil game, isn't it? Only three goals between them so far. Look, both teams just want to get that first win on the board. As I mentioned earlier, Hyde have had a bit like Nicola, a pretty unforgiving fixture list. So even though they've not got a win, they've still done some pretty good work so far. Stafford, yeah, they won't want a win the streak to go on too much longer because it'll start feeling like deja vu, won't it, from last season. So actually quite a big game for both in that respect.
Stalybridge bit Celtic against Buxton. James, what do you think for this one? Because Stalybridge need a win, and Buxton need a win as well, really, to get themselves up towards the player positions.
I'd say Buxton need a little bit more than Stalybridge just because of the quality they've got in the team. It's a big opportunity for the players to stand up a little bit and start scoring some more goals. Saw it a couple of weeks ago in the FA Cup, and they got an opportunity to do the same again. Stalybridge, at the same time, they need to start getting results on the board. Otherwise, again, we look at a similar situation to a couple of years ago. Both need the result, but I think Buxton have got the bigger need and the bigger capabilities to get something out of this.
Just two other fixtures to talk about for the weekend. Whitby Town against Grantham Town. But to finish things off for Saturday's matches, I'll come to... Where should I go? Oh, this could have been great if Berkey was there. I could talk to him about Scarborough, couldn't I? But I'll come to you, Simo. Witton Albion against Scarborough. This is game of the weekend.
I think it's game of the weekend. I'm with you there. A little test for both teams' kind of progress so far. Well, bang on about Whittings, talked about them earlier. Scarborough hoping to have Michael Coulson back at the weekend. I mean, Scarborough, horrendous luck with injuries, and we talked in the preview show about Asenso and Waligi are going to be out long term. We got injured in pre-season. They've now lost Luke Porritt, who's going to be out until the new year. So fair play to Daz for keeping his spirits up and still finding a way to pick up points and wins. And obviously also we touched on earlier, they've not had a home game yet, so to find themselves second in the league is pretty darn impressive. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And like I say, Whitton's simply hoping to put back-to-back performances together. They've shown glimpses of what they're capable of, but nowhere near enough so far. So yeah, definitely Wincham Park is where to keep an eye on, I think, in the Premier Division this weekend.
And that's it for the league fixtures for this weekend. But just before we go, we do have to mention Tuesday night. It's all iggledy-piggledy at the moment. Normally, we do a special FA Cup show, but... these midweek games are annoying me now. But yeah, we are actually sneaked up on us. We're at the third qualifying round already, aren't we? Just a quick round the table just to, with regards to how you think our sides are going to get on in this on Tuesday night. Firstly, Darlington against Tadcaster Albion. James first and then Simo, just your quick prediction. Go. James.
Preston absolutely rattled Darlington in the second qualifying round. So Tadcaster could, again, if Tadcaster watching highlights, they could have a real good go.
Simo. Yeah, I agree. I think they'll give it a great go.
FC United against Alfreton Town. Home win. No worries at all. Moving on. Guiseley against Matlock Town. James.
Avison College struggled quite a lot against Guiseley. Good strong side this year for the National League. It's going to be a tough one for Matlock. I think Guiseley might scrape this one through.
And Simo, there is this thing we spoke about last week on the show, just about the fact that National League sides and National League North sides haven't played that many games, have they? So but not as many as Matlock have. So there is a kind of advantage there, but it is a home game for Guiseley.
Yeah, but I think you're right. And I think T got pointed out at the weekend, so I'm not going to take credit for this, of kind of how poor kind of the Northern Premier League Premier Division teams have done in the FA Cup this season. I think we're down. I think I counted up four. We've only got six, and that might be five if Nantwich aren't able to play their game, which is not a good showing from our guys. But and I think they've been victim of maybe teams in other leagues taking advantage of lack of match sharpness. So we've seen a lot of weird results. Matlock will be hoping they can make that pay. But with guys having home advantage, I would fancy them, to be fair.
Ilkeston Town, our very own Ilkeston Town, will be taking on our old friends, Alva Church. Ilkeston mean business this year, James. So what do you think?
Again, great run in the FA Cup already this season. Alva Church are a very, very strong side. The last couple of seasons, they want to get into the National League. I reckon this one could go to penalties.
That's a very specific prediction. That
very precise. Yeah. I like that.
Who's going to win on penalties? I'm going to say Ilkeston will win the penalty shootout 8-7. Right. Marine v Nantwich. This does come with a big, massive disclaimer, doesn't it, James, with regards to Nantwich. So we don't really know what's happening there. Just look at the website for further details closer to the time. Right. Marsh United against Blyth Spartans. Whoa, settle down, everyone. Battle of the North East. Marsh United against Blyth Spartans. You first, Simo. Shock home win written all over it, in my humble opinion.
I'm glad you came to me because this is the last opportunity I'll have on the MPL show to make a Robbie Dale reference.
Yes.
The second best player ever to play in the Northern Premier League, although I think he's the best, but officially the second. Obviously, he announced his retirement last week before the start of the new National League North season. Big up, Robbie. My favourite non-league player ever. And that's going to take some beating by anybody. But topically, Blyth. Well, they really huffed and they puffed to see off Whitley Bay, didn't they, last week? And in fact, Whitley Bay's goalkeeper got sent off and Blyth ended up having three penalties. It was a chaotic game and they did find a way to get through. But Mask will take massive encouragement from that, thinking that they can do some damage, I think, when they meet next week.
Let's talk about the match up at Hague Avenue. Southport against South Shields. Southport, James, were fortunate, weren't they? Just about getting past Morpeth.
Morpeth should have won that game. Yeah. You've seen the highlights there. South Shields, pay attention.
Looking at St Albans, where's St Albans?
It's a long way from here.
St Albans against Michelover. The only thing I know about St Albans is the zombies came from St Albans. But of course, Simo, you're not interested in the zombies, are you? But they're not really rock and roll. They were quite melancholy at times, the zombies. But anyway, St Albans against Michelover. Discuss.
Well, this is more fodder for my Michelover having a horrendous fixturist argument. I mean, they have the head in the hands when the draw came out on Monday. I've covered games at St Albans actually when they were in the Conference National and playing against Norfolk. It's a lovely little ground down there. So it's actually going to be a nice away day. Well, not on a Tuesday. But poor old Michelover. Difficult draw. But as we've learned on this show over the years, never bet against John McGrath's team, and they often pull out results when we least expect them to.
The pass as well, it'll be behind closed doors as well, so it's neutral game, they might actually enjoy it.
Yes, I feel like I've done the zombies a disservice, by the way. Odyssey and Oracle is a great album, just to put that out there. Don't get in touch. Anyway, right, where were we? Last game to talk about, Stafford Rangers against Hereford. Ooh, what do you think? Hereford haven't really had a good run-up at this, have they? So, you never know.
I'd love Stafford to do it.
I would do as well, personally, yeah. But Hereford always tends to like playing against Northern Premier League sides. But, again, Jody Banning, if he does it, fair play to him.
Well, thank you, chaps, for walking us through those third qualifying round matches for this weekend. But that's it for this month's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to Simo and James Hayes for joining us this week, as well as Matt Carruthers earlier, Paul Connolly, Ant Taylor, and of course Toby McCormack, chairman at Warrington Town. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. And we should say there's also going to be a Step 4 show out this weekend, so look out for that one as well on the Pitching In NPL website. But that's it for this week's show. You make sure that you all have fun, take care, and stay safe. Bye bye.